asked the cottage. She hadn't bothered to lock it. She was sure that Agnes would have mentioned it if she was going to be burgled. She was always very good at personal things like that. She'd rented the cottage furnished, which meant that the actual furniture was the special sort you find in these circumstances, and had probably been left out for the dustman by the local War on Wants shop. It didn't matter. She didn't expect to be here long. If Agnes was right, she wouldn't be anywhere long, nor would anyone else. She spread her maps and things out on the ancient table under the kitchen's solitary light bulb. What had she learned? Nothing much, she decided. Probably it was at the north end of the village, but she suspected that anyway. If you got too close, the signal swamped you. If you were too far away, you couldn't get an accurate fix. It was infuriating. The answer must be in the book somewhere. The trouble was that in order to understand the predictions, you had to be able to think like a half-crazed, highly intelligent 17th-century witch with a mind like a crossword puzzle dictionary. Other members of the family had said that Agnes made things obscure to conceal them from the understanding of outsiders. Anathema, who suspected she could occasionally think like Agnes, had privately decided it was because Agnes was a bloody-minded old bitch with a mean sense of humour. She didn't have the book. Anathema stared in horror at the things on the table. The maps, the homemade divinatory theodolite, the thermos that had contained hot bovril, the torch, the rectangle of empty air where the prophecies should have been. She'd lost it. But that was ridiculous. One of the things Agnes was always very specific about was what happened to the book. She snatched up the torch and ran from the house. A feeling like, oh, the opposite, the feeling you're having when you say things like, this feels spooky, said Aziraphale. That's what I mean. I never say things like, this feels spooky, said Crowley. I'm all for spooky. A cherished feel, said Aziraphale desperately. Nope, can't sense a thing, said Crowley with forced jolliness. You're just oversensitive. It's my job, said Aziraphale. Angels can't be oversensitive. I expect people round here like living here, and you're just picking it up. Never picked up anything like this in London, said Aziraphale. There you are, then, proves my point, said Crowley. And this is the place. I remember the stone lines on the gateposts. The Bentley's headlights lit up the groves of overgrown rhododendrons that lined the drive. The tyres crunched over gravel. It's a bit early in the morning to be calling on nuns, said Aziraphale doubtfully. Nonsense! Nuns are up and about at all hours, said Crowley. It's probably Compline, unless that's a slimming aid. Oh, cheap, very cheap, said the angel. There's really no need for that sort of thing. Don't get defensive. I told you these were some of ours, black nuns. We needed a hospital close to the airbase, you see. You've lost me there. You don't think American diplomats' wives usually give birth in little religious hospitals in the middle of nowhere, do you? It all had to seem to happen naturally. There's an airbase at Lower Tadfield. She went there for the opening. Things started to happen. Base hospital not ready. Our man there said, there's a place just down the road, and there we were. Rather good organisation. Except for one or two minor details, said Aziraphale smugly. But it nearly worked, snapped Crowley, feeling he should stick up for the old firm. You see, evil always contains the seeds of its own destruction, said the angel. It is ultimately negative, and therefore encompasses its downfall, even at the moments of apparent triumph. No matter how grandiose, how well planned, how apparently foolproof an evil plan, the inherent sinfulness will by definition rebound upon its instigators. No matter how apparently successful it may seem upon the way, at the end it will wreck itself. It will founder upon the rocks of iniquity and sink headfirst to vanish without trace into the seas of oblivion. Crowley considered this. Nah, he said at last. For my money, it was just average incompetence. Hey, he whistled under his breath. The gravelled forecourt in front of the manor was crowded with cars, but they weren't none cars. The Bentley was, if anything, outclassed. A lot of the cars had GT or Turbo in their names and phone aerials on their roofs. They were nearly all less than a year old. Crowley's hands itched. Aziraphale healed bicycles and broken bones. He longed to steal a few radios, let down some tyres, that sort of thing. He resisted it. Well, well, he said. In my day, nuns were packed four to a Morris Traveller. This can't be right, said Aziraphale. Perhaps they've gone private, said Crowley. Or you've got the wrong place. It's the right place, I tell you. Come on. They got out of the car. 30 seconds later, someone shot both of them.